Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio, open God's eternal word and study the word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out and get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. Before I begin with the scripture, I do want to remind you of our big Thanksgiving camp meeting here at Resaca, Georgia at Faith Baptist Camp. We begin our services on Sunday night and go all the way through Friday night with daytime services, great preaching, great time of camp meeting. That's all of the week of Thanksgiving. And I hope you'll come and be with us. We'll have a great time together in the worshiping of our Lord. All right, we're turning our Bible to Psalms 65, verse number 2. And I want to read this verse of scripture as we continue our study on the subject of prayer. We have looked at the purpose of prayer. We have looked at the pattern of prayer, the place of prayer. Then we looked at the promises of prayer. We saw the privilege of prayer. And then we saw the power of prayer. And I'm aware of the fact that I could spend many weeks dealing with each of these subjects, but I'm just moving through as the Holy Ghost directs me with the study of the Word of God. And so we're going to look today at the thought of the problems of our praying or the problems of our prayer life and see what God has to say in His Word about those of us who pray and hindrances to our prayers. The Bible said in Psalm 65, verse number 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. What a great statement about our God. O thou that answereth prayer. Now, every person who prays much has had the experience of God answering their prayers. And I know nothing any greater than to pray for something specific and then watch God grant your petition. I always marvel at God's answering of my prayers. I appreciate so much God allowing me the privilege to get on my knees and petition the God of heaven and know that He listens and know that as I pray according to His will, then He will hear and answer my prayer. So I'm grateful for the prayers that the Lord has answered. But then, I must be honest with you, every person who prays much knows what it is to pray and not see any answer to their prayer. Now, I realize God can answer a prayer in more than one way. God can answer our prayer by granting to us our petition. God can answer our prayer by simply refusing to grant our petition, by simply saying to us no to that which we've asked of Him. And then God can answer our prayers in a delayed manner. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. And so God oftentimes does not answer on our schedule, but on His schedule. And if God gave us everything we asked for, exactly when we asked for it, and in the manner that we asked for it, then if I could use the word, we'd become spoiled, and we would not really appreciate God's goodness. We would eventually conform to our own will in our own ways, instead of the way and will of God. So God has a way of answering our prayers in His own time and according to His own will. But when we pray and we do not see an answer, we should not just accept it without some questioning as to why God did not answer it. I want to look today in the Word of God at some things that will keep God from hearing and answering our prayers. And I trust you'll listen. Let God speak to your heart. Let me just say this, and then I'll deal with the scripture. I don't pray enough as it is. And I sure don't want something in my life that hinders God from answering me when I pray. I'm dividing these problems of prayer into two groups. First of all, many of our prayers are not answered because they are heartless. Our heart is not in them when we pray. Then many of our prayers are not answered because they're hindered. There's something wrong in our life when we pray. Now, friend, hear me. God wants to hear and answer prayer, but God will not overstep the boundaries of His Word just to answer your prayer. I am convinced that before God will answer any prayer, that prayer must be prayed from the heart. It must be honest, and it must be honorable in the light of the teaching of the Word of God. And of course, you realize the Word of God always reveals the will of God. So it's never the will of God that we pray contrary to the Word of God. But I'm afraid I can find the answer to the reason my prayers are not answered right here in the study of the Word of God. Let's look at Scripture and see what the Word of God says. Oftentimes, our prayers are not answered because our prayers are heartless. As I sit down to prepare for the study in the preaching of the radio broadcast, I just put down several scriptures and I ask myself, where is this kind of praying? Let me give them to you as the Lord gave them to me. I ask myself, where is the praying of Jeremiah? In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 1, when he said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people." Friend, our prayers oftentimes are not answered because they're heartless. Where are our tears? Where is our weeping? Where is our agonizing before God for the burden and the desire of our heart? And then I ask myself the question, where is the praying of Abraham when he prayed in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 23 through verse number 33, as he interceded for Lot and for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain? Abraham, you remember, drew near to God and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Abraham begins to talk to God, and his heart is so wrapped up in this thing that he literally bargains with God. He barters with God. And he said to God, "What if there's 50 righteous? Would you spare it for 50? And God said, "If I can find 50 righteous, I'll spare the city." Abraham was not satisfied by taking that, so he said to God, "What if there's just 45? And God said, "If I can find 45 righteous, I'll spare the city." And then Abraham comes on down to 40, and then to 30, and then to 20. And God grants Abraham's petition. And finally, Abraham said to God, "What if there's just 10? Would you spare it for 10? And God said to Abraham, "I'll spare it if I can find 10 righteous people." Now, friend, listen to me. You cannot study about Abraham's intercessory prayer there without you realize it's more than just a passing desire. It's more than just a thought that has come to his mind. He is praying from his heart. He wants God to intervene and spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot and his family. We could say his prayer was a prayer from his heart. And then I thought about the prayer of Jacob over in chapter 32 of the book of Genesis, verses 24 through verse number 32, where the Bible said that Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him under the breaking of the day. And I'm not going to read all of that, but you know the story. That was the Lord wrestling with Jacob, and God said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And God said to Jacob, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And God said, you're Jacob no more. But I'm going to make you Israel. And I make you a prince that has power with God and with the people. Oh, do you feel the heartbeat of Jacob as he said to God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, until you answer my prayer. And I ask myself, where is that kind of praying among God's people today? And then I come to the book of Exodus, chapter number 32, and I thought about Moses as he's interceding for the nation of Israel. God had told Moses that I'm going to kill them and I'm going to destroy them because they built that golden calf and they've sinned against God. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people has sinned a great sin and have made gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and there is a punctuation mark in verse number 32 of Exodus 32 that appears nowhere else in the Bible. There's just a big long line. Moses never finished the sentence. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sins, then he said, and if not, then blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. I'm talking about praying that's from the heart. Many of our prayers are not heard because they are heartless. Let me give you one more quickly. I ask myself, where's the praying of women as Hannah prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 10 and verse number 11. The Bible said, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I look at these scriptures, and there's many others, but I look at these scriptures, and I compare our light-hearted praying today to the praying of these people in the Word of God. And I ask myself, where is the praying like Jeremiah? Where is the praying like Abraham? Where is the praying like Jacob prayed when he wrestled with God? Where is the praying like Moses prayed when he stood between God and him killing Israel? Where is the praying of Hannah that comes with a commitment to honor God as he answers our prayers? Many prayers are never answered because they are prayed heartlessly. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time broadcast. November is our anniversary month. On the first Monday in November of 2002, I began broadcasting the Harvest Time broadcast. God has been so good to us. We're on about 45 to 50 stations as we pass through our anniversary month. And I need to hear from a number of you. Your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on your station during the coming year. So I encourage you, take a few moments today as we leave the air, pray for us, and then sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Be sure to include the call letters of the station you listen to, and your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on the air where you're listening. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not.